highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see."
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. John the Baptist's disciples ask a question on behalf of John to Jesus. Are you really the Messiah? It's possible that John didn't ask this question for his own sake, but for the sake of his disciples. He wanted them to go to Jesus and ask the question for themselves, causing them to focus their attention on Jesus. Remember the statement John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, verse 30, which says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Now let's join Pastor Rob as he begins chapter 11 in the Gospel of Matthew.
Good morning. Hey, let's open our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And let's read just the first 19 verses. It says in Matthew 11, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me.' As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" And Jesus goes on and says, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not been risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who was least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, 'We have played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children.'" Father, we just thank you for this chapter, and we pray, Lord, that you would have your way in us today, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Obviously, this chapter is about John the Baptist predominantly, and it records an event where John had been imprisoned, and we'll look at the reason why he was imprisoned. But he was imprisoned, and John knew from his very birth, and we'll look at this too, he knew that from his miraculous birth, from his mother and his father, Zacharias and Elizabeth, that God had a plan for his life. And in fact, the prophets had foretold hundreds of years prior to his birth the things that he would accomplish. And the amazing thing is that John the Baptist's ministry was a short one. It wasn't a long one. And so finally, when he gets put in jail by Herod Antipas, he's obviously very confused because he knew what he came to accomplish. And he was faithful at it until he was imprisoned. But while he's there, he's questioning, he's wondering, did I miss something, Lord? Did I miss something? You know, I just feel like I just got started. I'm on fire, and now it's like the flame is being put out. Have you ever felt that way when, you know, things are going really well, and you feel like you're on this crescendo moving towards something, and something happens that just takes the rug out from underneath you? Anybody have that happen in life? Most of us, right? Well, that happened to John. But John was a faithful man. He was a man filled with faith. He was filled with the Spirit of God, excited about the things of God, excited about being a herald for Christ, for his cousin, Jesus, his cousin. How many cousins do you know that always walked in such a way where you could look back on their life and go, you know, they really could be God? No, most of us would say, no, I remember my cousin. Remember that time that you did that? Oh, yeah, and remember, yeah, you remember that. And you remember we had to bail you out of jail for that one? Most of us have stories like that. But John, once it was revealed to him that it was Jesus whom he was to herald and to speak of, he knew in his heart, you know, that makes sense now. I never seen him do anything wrong. From his very beginning, all of our growing up, you know, the times that we went to Jerusalem together with the whole big family, making that caravan down to Jerusalem, I never once heard him talk about his mom and dad in a negative way. He was always helpful. He was, you know, always doing things to help others. And I never, you know, wow, that's amazing. And then finally God reveals it to him. And then do you think that man would have done what he did, John the Baptist, if he knew that his cousin, Jesus, had sinned? Do you think he would give up his life for his cousin if he knew that he was a, you know, a criminal doing things behind people's back? Nobody would do that. Jesus claimed that he was the Messiah. That means he's equal with God the Father. John knew that, and John gave his life for that truth. And he knew more than anybody that this is him who he said he was. But now John is there in prison. He just got started, it seems, and now he's in prison. He's wondering. He's frustrated. And he has to come. So, you know, yeah, Jesus has to send two disciples, you know, or John sends two disciples to Jesus first and say, are you the Messiah? Because there's some things that aren't quite right here. I don't understand. I don't understand your agenda, Jesus. I love you, and I know you're the Son of God. I know you're the Messiah, but here I am. And there was so much in the Word of God. Malachi prophesied, Isaiah prophesied of the things that I'm doing. And now this, a conundrum. And let me suggest to you this morning that it really wasn't a lack of faith on John the Baptist's part, but rather a misunderstanding of Jesus' agenda. And most people had a misunderstanding of what Jesus was going to do. Many thought that he was going to come and rid the area of Israel from the Roman occupation, set up his kingdom, vanquish his enemies. And that sounds really good, doesn't it? But that's not what he came to do. Not yet. When he comes back in his second coming, oh yeah, there's going to be you know what to pay. But his first advent was to seek and to save the lost. And that's what he came to do. He came to seek and to save the lost. And so John is very discouraged and very confused about what is happening. Let's go back to verse 1 now. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there and to teach and to preach in their cities. The events recorded in this chapter, and specifically verse 2 down through the end, actually took place chronologically much earlier in Jesus' ministry. And even before that, John the Baptist had been arrested by Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, yes. Do you remember Herod the Great, who was Herod Antipas' father? Herod the Great died in 4 BC. He was the one who tried to destroy Jesus, remember, when he had the guards go through Bethlehem and these other areas to destroy any kids that are 2 years old and under? Remember, that was Herod the Great. Well, when he finally dies in 4 BC, his kingdom is divided into at least three parts, where his sons, Archelaus and Philip and Antipas, they take over the area of Israel. And you can see in the you can see in on this slide that's before you, Antipas, this was his jurisdiction, this whole area to the east of the Jordan River and up here around Galilee. And so the area was divided between his three sons, and Antipas's jurisdiction was, as we saw here, he reigned from about 4 BC to 39 AD, and it was this Herod Antipas that arrested and ultimately killed John the Baptist. In fact, in Luke chapter 3, just backing up here to get the order of things, this is when he was arrested. In Luke chapter 3, it tells us that Herod the Tetrarch, meaning Herod Antipas, being rebuked by him, speaking of John the Baptist, concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John up in prison. So Herod Antipas married his wife, Herodias, unlawfully. And so they're living in sin, married under very questionable circumstances. But why was John the Baptist arrested? Well, we got a hint of it just there in Luke's gospel, but it also tells us in Matthew that Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. And why? Because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." So publicly, John had rebuked Herod for this unlawful marriage to his sister-in-law, Herodias. And Herodias had a daughter. The Bible doesn't tell us her name, but history tells us. Her name was Salome. And she was the one that we'll find later on danced before Herod in a seductive sexual dance with Herod and all of his men around. And so Herod, after being publicly ridiculed by John, he did what people still do today. He canceled him. He shut him up, literally. And so Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote in his Antiquities of the Jews, for those of you who are curious, 18.5.2, you can go read that. It tells us that John was imprisoned at this Herod's desert fortress and palace at Mercurius. Mercurius, it's on the east side of the Jordan River. And this fortress was the easternmost fortress of Herod, and it allowed them to look out for invaders coming in from the east. And so this is where Herod Antipas had this, not only John in prison, but also the place where he had that, where Salome gave that dance before Herod and a bunch of his magistrates. An artist's rendering archaeologically of what they've seen in that area. So it was in this area where the columns are that they probably had everybody there, and that's where Salome did her dance, and that's where ultimately Herod says, "Go fetch John the Baptist's head," and they went, and the executioner went and cut off his head, brought it back on a platter. You know, what a great side dish. And brings it to the girl, and she gives it to her mother. That's where it all happened. And so, it would be later, after the events of this chapter that we're going to read, that we've already looked at, after that would be when he would be beheaded by Antipas. But verse 2 takes us back while John was still in this prison in Machaerus. So it says, and when John heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. So even though John was in prison, he was evidently able to still receive guests. He wanted to hear what was going on and what the Lord was doing and how he was working. And no doubt he was thinking and praying and trying to put the pieces together, as I said before, and encouraging himself that, you know, that what he was doing was the right thing. Have I wasted my life on this Jesus? He knows he didn't, but he's confused. And John's ministry, like I said before, didn't last long, but it was effective, and it accomplished what the Lord wanted to accomplish in his life. And you know, that's something to be careful of. You know, as we serve in whatever ministries, most people think that it's, you know, when you get into ministry, sometimes it is a lifelong thing that you do, but sometimes it's just for a season. You know, not every ministry is a career choice. You know, where you do it until you retire. No, you know, sometimes things are different. And so John had to come to that reality. But he said to him, are you the coming one or do we look for another? The coming one was a messianic title. So underline that phrase, the coming one. In the Psalms, it mentions about the one who is coming, the coming one. And it's speaking of who? Jesus, exactly. And so, are you the coming one, or should we be looking for somebody else? And so, no doubt John was discouraged. He didn't understand Jesus' agenda. And the devil, no doubt, was playing with his head and telling him that he had wasted his life, serving and pointing everyone to Christ. And so, while this physical and spiritual stress that John was experiencing, he needed some encouragement. Do you need encouragement today? I need encouragement just to keep my head on straight. Things are happening so crazily today. I need encouragement. And the greatest encouragement is from the Word of God. That's the best place to find encouragement, is in the Scripture. That is the cleanser of your heart and your life. As you read the Bible, it is a cleanser. It's a healer. And it's truth. It's the only truth that you can read today. The only real truth with no guile behind it. There's no hidden agenda in the background. No, everything is very plain. And see, that's what's wonderful about God, wonderful about Jesus. He tells us in advance what's coming. And things are happening right according to plan, but sometimes it takes us by surprise. And John was taken by surprise. But have you needed encouragement over the last few years? Has your life maybe not turned out the way you wanted it to be? Are you concerned or worried about your health and the health of those that you love? Are you concerned about your finances and the direction our country is going? We certainly ought to be concerned. However, are you fearful? We don't need to be fearful, right? Matthew 10, Jesus says, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. All things are going to come out in the open eventually. And then in verse 28, he goes on, he says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And there's only one who can do that, and that's God himself. Much rather fear him than anybody who can take my physical life, because when I die, when I have my last breath, I know that I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. And you too, if you're a believer. So who do I fear more? What man can do? I mean, nobody looks forward to dying physically, right? I mean, I'm not looking forward to the process. I've said this before, but I'm hoping that one night I'm just, you know, after Thanksgiving meal and the Cowboys have won, you know, the football game, that I can go to bed and my stomach full of turkey and pie and dressing and ice cream, that I just, and I wake up in heaven. I'd prefer to go that way than to languish in a bed for several years, dying of a cancer or being eaten by a great white shark. That's hard to do when I'm not in the water, but, you know, it is New York. But Jesus is here for us today, just as he was for John the Baptist. And the Word of God encourages us in many things, doesn't it? It tells us who we are. It tells us of our fallen state. Excuse me. It tells us who Jesus is and how he has given his life a ransom for us that we might be saved. The Word of God also shows us things to come that we won't be afraid. And the Bible tells us what our eternal reward is if we are in Christ Jesus. And John needed some encouragement at this time, and it seemed that he was struggling. A lack of understanding, but not unbelief, I believe, because they're not the same thing. I can still be faithful, but maybe lack understanding. And there's a difference between the two of them. John was just lacking in understanding. But I believe this passage that we have before us here this morning is given to us for at least two reasons. Number one, to show God's love and encouragement for John and to his own, speaking not only of the Jews, but to also all of us who are Christians. But number two, to again show further proof that Jesus is who he and the scriptures says that he is and was. And you may be saying, why is that? Well, we're going to see Jesus affirming who he was through the scripture to let John know that his ministry, his life, his imprisonment was not in vain. I like that. Jesus answered, verse 4, and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see." Underline that phrase, hear and see, because notice the order here. It's so important. Jesus didn't say, "Go and tell John the things which you see and hear," but rather, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see." Why am I making a big deal out of that? Because seeing is not necessarily believing. Right? In our culture, there's this phrase, seeing is believing. And I remember many years ago, we had our offices up in the front there, by the front counter. And my office was up there too, and our projector had died, and there was somebody in our fellowship, and I hate to admit this, but I'm just going to be transparent with you, and you can see how ugly I am. You knew that anyway. But anyway, the thing had died, and we didn't really have the money to replace it, and so somebody told me that they would bring it in. They'd buy a new one and bring it in. And for some reason, it may have just been a personality thing between me and the person. And my door was open, and Jeff just happened to be walking by, and I made the comment, "Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it." You know, like, and he peeked in, and he goes, "Well, then it wouldn't be faith, would it?" And I'm like, I just kind of slunk back into my hole, you know. And I felt really bad about that, and I probably didn't speak to him for a couple days because of my fear of him. But seeing is not necessarily believing, because many people, including the religious leaders, they saw the miracles that Jesus did. But it didn't result in a saving faith, did it? They saw a lot, and they can't deny it. They can't deny the miracle of these things. They saw it, but yet it didn't produce anything of a saving faith in them. But the Bible does say this, though, doesn't it? It says this in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is hearing the Word of God that our faith is grounded, not by what we see.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.